Hey, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It is me, DJ Impact, with Matt Michael, Sin City Steve, and Rob. And we have a special edition for you. Happy Easter to you all, that's for starters. And we thought we'd put together a little fun podcast for you, as we were thinking, you know, being that this is known and as a Resurrection Sunday, definitely for those who celebrate the Christian religion, we thought, well, why not we think of a wrestler who's had the best, or let's say they had, hold on. Oh, there we go. We had lost Rob there, but Rob is back. Okay. So which wrestler who we think has, or is having the best career resurrection? And we all have somebody in mind. I would end up probably going last based on time. We want to make sure that we don't keep you guys hanging too long out there. But let's have a little fun with this. So let's start with you. We normally kick off with you, Sin City Steve. So we'll start with you first this time. What wrestler do you think has had the sort of the best career resurrection?
Well, obviously, especially lately, there have been several people that were deemed unable to come back to wrestle, or things of that nature, you know, stuff kind of got in the way, or maybe they got released two times in 1 year, like the guy that I'm selecting, Samoa Joe. Joe, obviously, we know what he's done in Ring of Honor. We know what he's done in TNA. We know what he did in NXT. And then he got to the main roster. And while his main roster run was all right, it's not really that major. It was very lackluster. And so much so that, unfortunately, some injuries had happened to Joe. And he, instead of competing at a WrestleMania, he was actually commentating at a WrestleMania. And obviously, this would be, as fate would have it, the only WrestleMania to have a weather delay for an inordinate amount of time as well.
That's right.
So, yeah, he was out there in Raymond James Stadium in a downpour in this poncho, trying to keep viewer attention for what amounted to 90 extra minutes on top of the show. He did return to action for WWE and for NXT, actually, defeating Karrion Kross to win the NXT title. And then he had to relinquish the title. And then he was released. Samoa Joe released twice in 1 year. What would he do? What would happen with Samoa Joe? Well, his last NXT match was on August the 22nd of 2021. And he debuted in AEW in an Owen Hart Foundation tournament match in April of 2022. So obviously, look at the time frame right there. He definitely spent a decent amount of time away from the game. And what has he gone on to do in his time with AEW? Well, Tony Khan purchased the rights to Ring of Honor and resurrected that brand. And Samoa Joe just so happened to go on to be the longest reigning television champion for Ring of Honor in its history. And after the self-proclaimed king of television dropped that title, and he was not pinned or submitted for that title, he literally laid it on the mat and gave it up. He turned his attention to the AEW World Championship, defeating MJF at World's End, and is your current reigning and defending AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Samoa Joe has had one hell of a career resurrection.
I agree. Always been a big fan of Samoa Joe, and I'll be honest with you, I was hoping maybe he was going to, at some point, get to become a WWE champion. I it could possibly happen, and it would have been kind of great to have, you know, it's great we have the bloodline and everything, but knowing that Samoa is, you know, not a part of this Samoan family, seemed like that maybe would have been a great line to even kind of maybe, hey, who is this? Who is the real chief? You know, could have been sort of a route they could have went with that. And it would have been great, because
didn't they do that a while ago? It was a one-off line about I'm the real Samoan. That was a feud between Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns early on.
Yeah.
It was a brief one.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even really remember.
Yeah. They briefly crossed paths.
Yeah.
And he did bring it up. He goes, yeah, nobody likes you. You know, I'm the real deal Samoan. They don't even bring you up as a Samoan.
Interesting. Well, good stuff though, Sin City. I agree though. He is now the AEW, and that definitely tough career, but he at least got there. So we'll see where we go from there. Let me move over to you, Rob. What wrestler has had a career resurrection in your mind?
Rob Van Dam. He finds a way to stay relevant, and he doesn't necessarily reinvent himself. He finds a way to be himself. He doesn't have to keep finding new gimmicks, new things. He comes out, you get RVD. We know him from ECW doing the hardcore matches. He gets into TNA and WWE about during the 2000s. He was off and on with both promotions. But at every time, you know, you were getting Rob Van Dam. He didn't have to dye his hair different colors. He didn't have to do anything strange. You were going to get a consistent level of performance in the ring. Now we're into the teens. You don't see him so much. He makes appearances here and there at TNA. He showed up. Who was the porn star gimmick guy who was pulling lollipops out of his drawers?
Joey Ryan.
And he did the thing where Joey Ryan didn't want to be seen anymore, you know, be objectified. He came out in khakis. But he surrounded himself with other people who were changing their gimmicks. He was still Rob Van Dam. And now I'm seeing him on an AEW again, tagging with people. He took an L to Swerve Strickland. But really, I mean, that was at the last second. You go, oh, time to lose the match. He was kicking the shit out of Swerve Strickland that entire match, and they put him in more matches. They teamed him up with the Hook. I mean, the fact that you can have a guy go at, you know, who would have been fighting Taz 25 years ago to the point where he looks the same and he's tagging with the guy's son a generation later, and you're getting the same level of performance in the ring from him over three decades almost. That's incredible. At any time you see Rob Van Dam, you don't roll your eyes. You go, oh shit, that's Rob Van Dam. He might get squashed, but he's going to put somebody over. He's going to do a good job. And everywhere he goes, you don't have to introduce him to an audience. It's not like when somebody from the indies goes to WWE, like they did with Al Snow back in the early 2000s, where they had to. Al Snow's thing was, what does everybody want? Head. He came out with a mannequin, you know, the little styrofoam head dummy. He got to WWE, nobody understood what the hell that was all about, so they had to do some head cheese gimmick. We know who Rob Van Dam is. Any promotion, you're going, boom, you know, doing one of those. Same with CM Punk. He's a universal generational talent in the real sense of the term. I hate when somebody like MJF says it, and you're like, wait a minute, you've been wrestling for like 5 years, buddy. Calm it down. You're not generational anything. You know, Jade Cargill says that shit. It annoys me. I'm like, honey, I still want to bang you, but still. Knock it off with the generational talent. You're not yet. You know, I'm just saying. RVD is, because he's crossed generations. He's the real definition of a generational talent. Well earned.
Absolutely. Good
Give
stuff.
Give him the belt.
Give him the belt.
Give him one of those ROH belts that mean nothing.
Shit, might as well.
Yeah.
Call it the Matchbox Champion belt. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It just whatever.
All right, let me jump over to you, Matt Michaels. Career resurrection.
Well, the I think one of the biggest career resurrections of all time is Shawn Michaels. Shawn was in a really bad state when he got injured in January of 1998 there at the Royal Rumble when he hit the edge of the casket with his back. He barely made it through the WrestleMania match to Austin, and it looked like Shawn's career was over. Now, if you go back and watch Raw episodes from 1997 when they were doing DX, Shawn is obvious that he is fucked up. He is pilled out of his fucking mind. He is slurring words. He is slow on his speech. It's bad. And so, you know, with his drug problems and the injuries, and the fact that they tried to bring him back as commissioner and, you know, work him in every once in a while, the best thing that ever happened to him was the fact that he was sitting home watching WCW and saw his future wife dancing with the Nitro Girls. If Rebecca doesn't come into his life, he doesn't find Jesus, and he doesn't sober up, and he's probably dead, to be honest.
Yeah.
He was on that path. It was pretty bad. So that match, SummerSlam 2002, when he came back and wrestled Triple H, and it looked like this was going to be a one-off. That match, you just kind of held your breath every time he did something because you were afraid he was going to get paralyzed. He made it through the match. It was an incredible, just incredible match between two guys who know each other so well that in November, he comes back in the first Hell in a Cell, wins the world championship. And all of a sudden now he starts the career resurrection that made him a Hall of Famer. And you get 10 years out of him, essentially, that you never thought that you would see. And, you know, you see two more incarnations of DX. You know, we get to see that a couple times. We got to see a feud between him and Hunter. I think it was in 03. You know, that they put on some really good matches. But then we got those matches like Hogan and Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam. And, you know, the best thing is he puts over Hogan, and then the next night comes on and basically says, well, now that that shit's over, let's get back to the fucking the real shit. You know, he was still able to just give that Shawn Michaels honesty about, like, okay, I just put up with the bullshit. Now let's go back to, you know, doing things right. And we got matches out of him and Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. You got him and Undertaker at their WrestleMania matches. You got him and Ric Flair at WrestleMania. He solidified himself as, you know, Mr. WrestleMania. There's no doubt about it that all those matches take place after he comes back. So it by far is probably one of the greatest career resurrections in the history. And now he's, you know, head of talent over at NXT, which is, you know, head of creative there. It's crazy to see the guy who was such a pain in the ass and people fucking hated backstage is now one of the most revered guys who grew up. It's like, it's fucking crazy.
It's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, good stuff, fellas. You know, I was, myself was kind of thinking like, who for me would be you know, a talent that I felt career just resurrected. And
the cheesecake, the cheesesteak vendor at Philadelphia, who's going to sell you all those cheesesteaks.
Oh God. Anyways,
resurrected off your patronage. Which would be live streaming.
Which Pat is making the most money this weekend, or the WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah. Well,
I'll tell you this. This guy I chose, though, no shocker here, at least for me, probably would be Cody Rhodes. Man. And Cody, when I thought back and looked back at his career, I was just kind of like, wow. I kind of forgot as I was going through some of it. I forgot he actually teamed with a Hardcore Holly, kind of, you know, being debuted. And that's kind of where you kind of start to see him. But he did team with him, and he won the titles when it comes to that. Then this is when I started to get excited. Legacy, right? You now had he was with Ted DiBiase's Ted DiBiase, and then RKO Randy Orton. Yeah. So I'm sitting back and I'm like, wow, I actually like the idea of this group, and they were becoming something. You know, I was like, okay, I like to see where this trend is going. And of course, we know what happened to Randy Orton's career in that group. And, you know, Ted, unfortunately, he fell off. But Cody was still in that middle, kind of trying to figure out where does he go in here. So then he did the whole dash in Cody Rhodes, which, by the way, in undashing, I actually like that gimmick. I know a lot of people probably was like, whatever. But putting paper bags over people's heads, I just thought that was just exciting. I just thought that was a really cool gimmick. And I actually wanted to be one of those that actually had. I'm just saying.
Of course.
Right? I, you know. But even with that, not enough to kind of, you know, get to get him going. And then, of course, he has this. He did become Intercontinental Champion. So I had to figure out, because I remember he was Intercontinental Champion. I was like, who did he defeat? And I found out it was Ezekiel Jackson. Of course, I was like, ah, okay, now I remember that. But he did become Intercontinental Champion for that time being. Then there was Team Rhodes Scholars. Y'all remember that? That took up, and that was pretty interesting, seeing where that would go. Cody.
Was it Damian Sandow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had the mustache.
And then, of course, how can you forget the Brotherhood, right? Where you got Goldust, you know, his brother now that he's teaming up. So he's doing all these different things, just trying to find where he stands. And then here we go, Stardust. Now, I think this is where the moment that he was like, look, okay, I'm just done. When you're now beginning to kind of look like, and nothing against his brother, but when you're starting to take on a persona like that, you already know that you're not going into the direction of trying to become WWE champion. You're definitely going to be staying mid-card. And I think at that point, he was just like, man, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm sure he pitched all types of different things to creative, and they looked at him like, listen, I know you're a dusty son, but you ain't changing it. We don't see you as a champion at the moment. So listen, he did something that most people are not going to do. How many people are just going to say, you know, I'm out of this big company where I am a superstar. I got money. I got fame. I mean, I'm living the life that most people want to be at. But you know what? I'm leaving all that behind. And then he starts to go to the independent circuit. That's all the way to the bottom, guys. You know, just to start. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're all the way at the top. And now you want to go all the way and start over. Like, who thinks they want to do that? And as you do that, I'm
even
following.
Worse, even worse, he had to go to Japan.
Hey, we're getting there.
Oh,
we're
my God. There. Stop.
Hey, Ring of Honor. You know, he started there. He did a show in Vegas. I was there and that. Like, look at Cody. He's at Ring of Honor. Yep. You know, it was exciting to see him. Full house. Fans TNA? Were excited. Yeah. Went over there. TNA. Next thing you know, he's doing matches and winning them, and fans are excited to see him then. New Japan, like we just mentioned. There he goes. He's out there doing the work there. I think he was doing something over there with sort of like a Bullet Club faction of some sort.
Yeah. He was the leader of Bullet Club at one point.
Oh, there you go. Right. So there you go. And then AEW. He comes there, and of course, he's at that time, he has really just grown his popularity. of course, he couldn't get any the terms of titles couldn't grow any further than the TNT Championship, and I guess that was sort of a stipulation that he made for himself as being a EVP or whatever the case. But that still did not get him to his glory, and that leaves all the way up today, coming back to WWE where it all started, and look where we're at. I mean, this guy is one of the biggest stars in this company. You're talking about a career. He has set a blueprint that, you know, some might try to follow, but you're going to have to be willing to do it all. Put in that hard work. Be willing to start at the bottom. And
so you're saying Cody was a bottom?
No, stop it. But
no wonder it's the American Nightmare.
Oh, Jesus.
But I am excited to see, because although we, you know, this is a week before Mania, most of us believe this is going to be his moment.
It's Easter week and Cody's getting crucified.
Oh, all right. That is my part in all this. But thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Maybe you have your own wrestler that you could think of that has made that career resurrection you like to think of. Just throw it. It's on YouTube.
So Jade Cargill.
Just add it to the comments. Add it to the comments on YouTube. We would love to read what wrestlers you think also made that happen as well.
Okada.
That is the best clothesline of the year 2024 that you've ever seen.
Oh, boy.
Don't make me read it like Tony Khan.
When you say clothesline, you mean ending the show? Okada.
Oh, boy. All right. With that, thank you, everybody. Happy Easter. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.